This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. With an increasing number of wildfires, floods, and other natural disasters, the need for improved warning systems is rising too. And that's got first responders turning increasingly to new technologies and improvements to the existing systems to get word out to people who may be at risk. On today's show, our reporter Jim Carlton joins us to discuss how different kinds of alert technologies work and the ways we might be warned about disasters in the future. That's after these headlines. The Federal Trade Commission is investigating Amazon's plan to buy One Life Healthcare, the operator of the primary care clinics One Medical. One Life disclosed the investigation in a securities filing last week, reporting that the regulator asked it and Amazon for additional information about the nearly $4 billion deal. The investigation could delay Amazon's move to play a bigger role in the U.S. healthcare market. An Amazon spokeswoman declined to comment. Speaking of the FTC, the agency has been locked in a legal battle with Facebook parent Meta over its push into virtual reality tech. The Wall Street Journal learned last week that Meta has acquired a German startup called Lowfelt that aims to replicate the illusion of touch in VR. The deal was completed weeks ago, but was only made public in response to questions from the journal. In July, the FTC said Meta is a key player at each level of the VR sector and is using its financial power to dominate the industry. Meta previously said the FTC's move to stop another of its acquisitions of the VR fitness app maker Within Unlimited was sending a chilling message to innovators. Delayed again. NASA's second attempt to launch Artemis 1 to the moon was called off over the weekend, this time due to a hydrogen leak. The agency is now expected to remove the rocket from the launch pad and bring it back into its facility to fix the leak. Officials have pointed to at least one mistake involving too much pressure in a pre-launch chilling procedure, but said it was too soon to say that it caused the leak. Artemis 1 is meant to jumpstart NASA's attempts to return people to the surface of the moon, but it's already been mired in delays and budget overruns. And the U.S. move to restrict sales of NVIDIA's chips to China last week throws a wrench in Beijing's ambition in advanced technologies like artificial intelligence. The U.S. Commerce Department said the action was aimed at preventing China from acquiring American technology to advance its military. But the curbs will also cut off China's biggest tech companies, like Alibaba and Tencent, from some of the world's most advanced chips. Our reporter Lisa Lin says this is a problem for all sorts of companies in China.
Now that these cutting-edge chips might be blocked, the problem is that the Chinese companies are going to have to find different ways to source for them. And China really isn't the best place to look, because China's chip technology in the same space is still generations behind the U.S. The big takeaway for all this is that this is just another incident to spur overall decoupling between the US and China on the technology front. Chinese companies are beginning to realize that you don't have to be operating in the military space or the surveillance sector to be suddenly cut off from access to high-end technology from the West. So this will actually push China to try and accelerate development of their own strategic technology to be less reliant on the US.
All right, coming up, when there's a wildfire, flood, or hurricane barreling toward you, the last thing you want is for bad cell service to prevent you from getting the message. So how could tech for emergency warning systems be better? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution. Not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
the number of severe natural disasters is rising.
Eastern Kentucky is the epicenter tonight of the nation's latest extreme weather disaster. At least 16 people have died in flooding that rewrote the record books.
This morning, a wildfire burning out of control in Southern California forced evacuations and led to the...
That hurricane rapidly growing in size and strength, barreling through the Gulf and headed toward the U.S. tonight.
In the U.S. over the last decade, we've seen 6 of the 10 most costly Atlantic hurricanes and 7 of the top 10 most destructive wildfires in California. And one of the most pressing issues for local governments and first responders is how to warn people who might be in the path of destruction. Modern alert technologies have flaws and gaps, but new systems are being tested to improve them. Joining us to discuss those is our reporter, Jim Carlton. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining me.
Good to be here.
So, Jim, tell me about some of the technologies we use now to get alerts and what some of their flaws are.
You know, there's one called, it's kind of known as opt-in. It's where if you're a cell phone subscriber and you live in Sonoma County, then it's on you to check in with your local provider and check in. You know, you sign in and say, hey, if there's a wildfire, I want to be alerted. And so then when the wildfire comes, then you get the alert, but no one else does. And the problem with that technology is this happened in Boulder County, Colorado, just like last December. There was a wildfire that was just racing towards some communities, and the Boulder County Emergency Services only had opt-in technology. That was provided by a company called Everbridge, Inc. And basically, the people that were opted in got the alerts. The people that weren't opted in, they didn't. And there's only 1/3 of the people in Boulder County actually subscribed to that service, to the opt-in. So that's a problem. There's another technology that FEMA has deployed in the last few years, which basically, you don't have to opt in. It will collect every cell phone within a cell phone tower's range. And it's called IPAWS. It's Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, IPAWS, to be technical. And so they started doing this. And this is a lot better because you don't have to opt in. And even if you're passing through and there's a fire, it will catch your cell phone. And so this has been deployed in places like Spokane, Washington, et cetera. But it has some limitations, too. The problem with this technology is that not all phones can get those alerts. It's only ones in the last few years, newer models of phones. 6 out of 10 American phones can receive them. So it's going closer to solving the problem, but we're not there all the way.
So it's not about wailing sirens. We're really talking about using cell phones to get emergency messages out.
The problem is, though, if you're in a place where the cell phone tower has been burned down or destroyed, then you've got a problem. And that happened in the campfire, which destroyed Paradise, California, a few years ago.
I mean, we're talking a lot about phones. Obviously, we're used to getting, you know, messages over our phones, but we do spend time, you know, on the internet in other places. Are there efforts to kind of develop technologies that could alert us using some of the other means of communication?
Right, exactly. There's apps. There's also apps you can sign up for. There's a FEMA alert app, which, say you're in Kansas City, you can sign up for tornado warnings and alerts, and it will warn you on your computer. There's some leading-edge stuff that is coming. In August, the Department of Homeland Security completed a proof-of-concept test on a technology that would actually send an alert directly from a satellite to the GPS navigation system of a car.
So for those few times when I'm not on my phone, there is another way to get me an alert.
Yes, and in fact, an even kind of more far-out technology, which could be really, really useful, is to say you're at home and you're in Seattle, and they have an earthquake danger up there, and they've got early warning, shake alert systems. And so say the alert goes out, there's been a 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Seattle, God forbid. Then the alert goes to your Alexa. There's actually some work being done to maybe take Amazon's Alexa and so have the alert go to Alexa. And then Alexa can immediately send the alert to, for example, your garage and tell the garage door open up. And then, and this is really far out, and even to your Tesla or other electric vehicle, and also have your self-driving car back out into the driveway. So the earthquake comes, the garage door is open, your car is out, you can get out. That's very nascent. I talked to Amazon, and they're not really doing that themselves. There's a local effort up in Seattle where there's a local earthquake safety advocate who's working with some companies and organizations to try to do that. But that could be huge.
I mean, we're talking about some of the nascent technology that could help us in the future. How far along is some of this technology as, you know, wildfires and hurricanes become more extreme?
Well, I mean, honestly, it is a race against time. We're being just hammered by climate change now. I mean, we've had the biggest hurricanes in the last 10 years, the biggest wildfires in the last 10 years. But technology is going quickly, too. So I think if you look in 10 years, we'll be a lot farther along. But I mean, you know, the problem is that these disasters keep coming, and they tend to really, the most vulnerable people are really in rural areas. Like Paradise, California, I talked to a woman who, she had a cell phone, and as the campfire was bearing down, she didn't know because she couldn't get any alerts. The cell phone towers were down. And she looked out her window and could see like clouds of black smoke. And so she just kind of intuitively decided, we need to get out of here. And she got her elderly mother out, and they just kind of barely made it out. And that's the kind of thing we want to try to avoid. And with this new technology, hopefully we can.
So sum this up for us. Leave the listeners with maybe some news they can use. If they live in a disaster zone or they're going to one, what's the best kind of tech to prepare themselves?
I would say sign up for any kind of, there's a thing called a NIX alert, N-I-X-E-L, and you'll get a text alert that there is a brush fire. And then I would just make sure, you know, you want to have the latest model of a cell phone, because that will make sure that if you're driving to, you know, from San Francisco to Reno, that if you're going through a place where there's a fire and you don't know about it, your cell phone is going to be picked up on the nearest tower, and you're going to get an alert that, hey, turn around, you need to turn around, there's a fire up there. So I would also get the apps. I have Shake Alert, which is a cool app. I'm in San Francisco, and so we're supposed to get like, you know, many seconds of warning that there's an earthquake so I can go outside my house and not get crushed. The FEMA app is a great one. If you're anywhere where there might be a disaster, I would get the FEMA app for sure. You need to just kind of help protect yourself by increasing your ability to receive alerts. I talked to a woman named Jennifer Gray Thompson. She's with a group called After the Fire USA. It's a nonprofit that helps towns rebuild. She survived the 2017 Wine Country fires, which killed more than 30 people. And, you know, to this day, I mean, now, you know, at that point, she also had problems with her cell communications. She has now have, you know, old-fashioned two-way radios. So with all the technology we have, you know, like a person like her, she's still living in fire country. She keeps two-way radios to alert her relatives nearby and to get alerts. So as far as we've come, we're still kind of relying on some old stuff too.
All right, that's some good advice from our reporter, Jim Carlton. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
You bet.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.